be free from hatred, sorrow and strife, freed with love and with life. Your love will not fail to conquer all when the sunshine is ending the night.
That's why we're here tonight, because we believe. Appreciate each one of you tuning in tonight. God bless you. Welcome to the program. Here we are on the sixth month, 25th day of 2021, and have all kinds of wild things happening out in this wicked world because the devil is out there doing his thing. But thank God we have Jesus. I wouldn't even want to go through these times without Jesus, right? That's right. If I wasn't saved, you know what I'd do? I'd get saved, right? That's right. Because I wouldn't want to live through these times without Jesus. I wouldn't want to be an unbeliever out there thrashing about in a world of darkness, not knowing nothing but lies, really. There's so many lies out there that Satan has propagated and people are subject to. Yeah. All right, well, let's open up to some news here this evening as we start the program. There's a good governor in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida at the Faith and Freedom Coalition Road to Majority Conference. He pledged that he would put on the full armor of God to fight leftism. Well, I don't know if the governor really knows what all that means, but still, it's nice that he would say something like that anyway. Also, a Nigerian megachurch pastor who did deliverance dies at 57 years old. That's right, T.B. Joshua. He posted many deliverances on YouTube. So you could go and watch demons coming out of people at his church in Africa. But he's gone now to be with Jesus, so he's gone. So Franklin Graham condemns Colorado Mayor Shane Fullerton of Silverton, Colorado, for banning the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, because they're worried about backlash, so they're going to just cave to that and not have the Pledge of Allegiance. And, of course, you heard about the 12-story condominium building in Miami that suddenly collapsed on Thursday morning, killing at least four and leaving nearly 160 people missing. And it happened at 1:30 a.m. in the morning, just 12 seconds, it fell down and collapsed. while many families were sleeping in the building. And the building was built in the 80s. It's not that old. But, you know, they also have something interesting that a lot of people don't know about that building, is that that McAfee, who supposedly committed suicide, John McAfee, you know who he is, he came up with all the antivirus, and he was found dead in Spain, supposedly hung himself, which was not true, but because he said that he was not going to kill himself. And if he ended up dead, you would know that it wasn't him doing it, because he told people he was not going to do that. But supposedly the McAfee had an office in that building, or a place in that building as well, and they wanted to destroy all evidence, because supposedly McAfee was going to release a bunch of things about the Clintons and others getting ready to do that, to release a lot of dirt, and they had to probably kill him. We don't know that 100% sure, but that's what it looked like, because they call it suicide when people don't kill themselves, right? And they want to, you know, cover it up. They just call it a suicide. So, yeah, that's pretty tragic, all that stuff going on there right now. And supposedly, I don't know if that this is true or not, but supposedly they're moving extra troops into D.C. and locking down the Capitol, because supposedly this John McAfee said if he died, he was going to release all kinds of stuff. But I don't know, you know, if that's just Q news or something, if it's fake news, and a lot of Q stuff is fake. But anyway, we're moving on to another story, but that's just some interesting things going on. Hunter Biden gets another free pass on his corruption. Liberal media ignores claims that so-called president, so-called president's son used dad's money to accidentally pay escort woman $25,000. Yet the news has, you know, constantly was attacking the family of President Trump, but now they won't do that with Biden. So you think it's not a prejudiced media, a left-wing media? Of course it is. Yeah, they just do what they want to do to promote Biden and the left and all the things of corruption and liberal mentality there. So Homeland Security said to be highly concerned about the theory that President Trump will be reinstated in August. I don't know about that, but we will see what happens in the future. Who knows? Mexican authorities paid a warehouse in Puebla, Mexico, on Wednesday and found 240 illegal migrants get ready to come into America, including 61 of them being children headed for the American border to illegally cross into this country. Yeah, so they found them in there hiding in a warehouse. Biden marks Pride Month by naming a global envoy on the rights of LGBTQ and perversion rights, and designating the Pulse nightclub where the shooting took place, you know, as a national memorial. Okay, that's a national memorial of uncleanness and things that are anti-Bible. So they're going to make that a national memorial. Jessica Stern is to be the U.S. Special Envoy to advance the human rights of the LGBTQI plus. Yeah, the hallway in the White House will be lit up in rainbow colors for the first time in history. Yeah, in the city of San Francisco, two employees, they tell them they must get vaccinated or get fired. That's the first city in California, possibly the first in the United States, to tell all city employees that they must be vaccinated or be fired. So that's 35,000 city employees that are told that either get vaccinated or get fired. We do live in the times of strangeness, don't we? But, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We're saved. Thank you, Jesus, that we know him. We're going to receive communion tonight as well as deliverance. So praise God. You get that opportunity to partake communion together, all of us. So if you haven't gotten your grape juice or whatever you're using there, your grape juice and a cracker, go ahead and get that ready. So we'll do that this evening, later, after the message. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that so you can be ready to receive communion if you're wanting to partake of that tonight with us. My wife is ready to do it as well in the other room, so she'll be also partaking with us. All right, well, we're going to go ahead now and open up in prayer for the program tonight. If you're ready, I'm certainly ready to pray. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask you to turn things around in this nation. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this nation. We pray for righteous government in this nation. Lord, we pray that you will just begin to bring about the change that you desire, Lord, for your glory in America, that we can, Lord, turn back to you. And many for the first time turn to you because they've never been with you, Father. We pray for their salvation, Lord, that they'll get born again, that people will want to know you and they'll want to know the truth and they'll hate the lies and the deception that is so rampant today in this world. Lord, we pray people get their head on right. People that have embraced all the perversion, the uncleanness, and the Antichrist material and are promoting that on the American people and the whole world, actually, at this time. So we pray that that'll turn around, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the enemy that's doing that and blinding the eyes of people. We rebuke the deceiver in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that people's eyes will be open and they will receive the truth, Father, and then know the truth that will bring them freedom and liberty and set them free, Father. We thank you for doing a mighty work, Lord, in these last days, Father, before your return, the return of Jesus. We pray for mighty work in the earth, Father, that you would be exalted and lifted up in spite of all that we see going on out there. You will be lifted up. You will be exalted. And Lord, we pray for the favor of God on our lives, that we can be bold to share when we have that opportunity, Father, to share about your kingdom, about the truth, and that people would be receptive to the truth, Father, that people have ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to them, and that they would turn away, repent, and turn away from their sins and their darkness. And come into your marvelous light, Father. We pray that light will be just released in the earth, Father, in a mighty wave of light for people to have the vision where they can see again and come out of the traps of the devil in Jesus' name. Especially our loved ones that are not right with the Lord. We pray for them, Lord, that they would get right with Jesus, Father. And Lord, we also pray for divine direction for each and every one of you, and that all of us would be led by the Spirit, and every one of us have decisions to make, and we make them daily many times, but sometimes you have some big decisions to make. So, Father, I pray for each and every one that has big decisions to make, that, Lord, you will lead them in making the right decision. And even the little decision, that we will make the right decision, Father, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the enemy off the decision-making process in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we will make the right decision, Father, that will be in alignment with you and your will and your plan for our lives, Father. It will be the best for each one of us and our families and a loved one, Father. We praise you for that today. We thank you that we are led by the Holy Ghost, Father. That we are led by the Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, for providing all of our needs, Father, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we have abundant supply, Father, that you're going to meet every need, Father, of each one of us, Father. We thank you for provision in these days as we prepare for things to change dramatically. They already are, but they're going to continue to do so, Father, and the inflation that's going on and is going to increase, and they're even having to admit it that there's major inflation going on. They try to give it other names, but the fact of the matter is they've given away so much money, the dollar is losing value rapidly, and things are going up in price because of it. And so, Father, we praise you for, Lord, providing, even in the time of great inflation, like they had in the country down in South America. They just lost so much value of the currency, it took wheelbarrows to get anything with. It just had no value. Lord, we thank you for providing, Lord, even in times of leanness in the world, Father, you will provide for your people, Father. We thank you for taking good care of each one of us, Father, and putting food on our table, a roof over our head, providing abundantly above all that we could think or ask, Father, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we claim that for the listeners that would believe that with me, for their own lives and their own family. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. I ask you to bless our time we have together. Bless the time and the word of God right now. And release the angels of the Lord to take care of things as we do the program tonight, Father. And we'll go out and do ministry, Father, to people who listen, Father, the ministering spirit sent for those who are heirs of salvation. We thank you for those ministering spirits, those angels. Thank you, Lord, that we have also been given authority to use the angels as well, Lord. But, Lord, I know some people are not comfortable with that, but says the spirits are subject to us. So we praise you for that. It's not just the evil spirit. But you said the angels are ministering spirits for us, to work for us, to work, of course, for you first and foremost. But we thank you for that, too, Lord, and bless the program now. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, let's get into this today. Are you ready? I'm ready. I appreciate you being here. And so we're going to get into this right now and see what the Lord has to say to us. Amen. Because he definitely has something to say. How many believe Jesus has plenty to say? Father has plenty to say. Walking with Jesus with all these faults? Really? Yeah, that's the title. Walking with Jesus with all these faults? Today, a subtle, sneaky attack of the enemy causing many people to neglect their spiritual life is going on. And I'm concerned about it because I watch people. They don't pick up the Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't spend much time in prayer unless they get in an emergency situation. And, hey, folks, you know, believers can't afford to neglect their spiritual life with the Lord. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer and warfare and praise and worship and fellowship with the Lord and enjoying grace and loving the truth of the Word of God. And you know what? Demons are after all of these things in our life and more to block or hinder or remove them if they can get away with it. If we let them get away with it, they will. But if we put up a stand against them, they're not going to be able to prevail in doing that. But what we face from devils and demons is not going to go away and surprise all of us. No more demons to deal with. No, that's not going to happen. In us or in anyone else. We have to deal with these things. And no, that's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. So we need to realize that there will be demons and fallen angels to deal with in our lives and around you until the end comes. Okay? And so then we need to determine that you're not going to just let these spirits of darkness, we're not going to let them rule over our lives. Just not going to do it. You're going to rule over them, as the scripture says, that we are to do so. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy, right? And nothing should by any means hurt us, the Bible says. So, yeah, scripture says we have to do this. But how many Christians really obey the scripture? How many even know what's in their Bible, really? I mean, we need to put the Bible in us so that we're going to be, it'll be there when we need it. How many know we need it? I don't know about you, but I need it every day, okay? I need it every day. And there's always a situation in life that requires us to know the Word of God. Just for example, areas of fear. People face fear, attacks of fear all the time. Or sickness in their body, or in someone else's body. You face attacks in that area. And if you face a fear, how many scriptures do you know to use to battle that fear of fear? Well, I can immediately think of several. The first one comes to my mind, for God not given us a fear of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? Remember that one. Should have that memorized. I don't have to look it up. And other scriptures too. Or sickness, how about that one? Do you have any scriptures memorized for that one? Psalm 103, how about that one? 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, healeth all thy diseases. And there's others that I could quote too. Do you have any memorized that you can quote? Have you memorized any healing scripture? How about lust and dealing with lust? See, Jesus used scriptures when the devil attacked him, and we should too. And if you don't know any scriptures by heart, then you should get those. You can start getting some on certain subjects memorized so you can have something to quote to the devil when you're attacked. Because you're going to be attacked, and if Jesus used the word, then we're not above Jesus. So if he used the word, then don't you think maybe we ought to use the word of God too when we're attacked against the enemy? Don't you think maybe that would be, scriptural and logical to do such a thing, and spiritually logical? Amen. So the lies of the devil, when they come, you have some scriptures to refute them and to resist them, because there's lies coming all the time. See why you cannot neglect God's word? See how important it is? See, the devils are everywhere and doing their evil work against you and everyone else as well. It's always going on because they don't sleep, neither does the Lord, but neither does the devils and his fallen angels and demons. There's no place to hide from them. I've been out in the middle of the wilderness, and there's still the devils out there. No place to hide. There may be less of them out there, maybe, but they're still around. Or maybe they followed me out there when I went, you know, because there's a human going out to the desert, I mean, out into the wilderness there. And they'll follow you out. They see you going. They're not going to let you just get away from them. The only place that we have to get away from it is in Jesus, right? After we deal battle with them, says that they left Jesus for a season, and they'll leave us for a season too. And it won't be a long season, but still, we'll have that season where they have to go. Amen? So, yeah, we have a challenge today. You're going to walk with the Lord, or you're not going to walk with the Lord? You're going to go on with him, or you're going to be nominal, not knowing scripture, not knowing how to really get in there and whip the enemy? Let's start with Genesis 3, verse 1, as we read some scripture here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, the serpent did, yea, has God said? Oh boy, that's one he's still using today. Has God really said that? Did God really say you'd really do this or that if you did this? But, and he said, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden, with a question mark, like, did he really say that? What does it really mean? You got to start questioning God. That's what the devil wants you to do, question scripture. And what did God, is he really going to show up for me? Or did God really say that in his word? Is that really for me? I mean, all these questionings that people do, is really much of it from the devil and demons. See, the serpent is still cunning and sneaky and talking away to people today, all the time talking in their mind, blasting away with his little suggestions and his little questionings and what ifs and all these little things that go on in people's minds and how he plants these thoughts in there. And he has moved into organized churches and religion and has deceived the masses today. The serpent has painted a wrong picture of God today also, so people don't see God right. He's lured the church to sleep with his subtle devices, such as the false rapture cult teaching, right? I mean, and that Joe Biden and Obama and George W. and the government and the, you know, and these people who are running with the globalists have our best in mind, really? Lies, so many lies. The serpent beguiled me, at least, is what Eve said. The serpent beguiled me. How many times has the serpent beguiled you? How many times has the serpent beguiled me? Right. More times than we care to admit, probably, but it sure has happened. Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. At least Adam and Eve still had a chance. But when this is all over, that excuse is not going to fly, is it? The serpent beguiled me. How many people are going to say that to Jesus when they stand before the judgment seat? But they aren't going to be able to say that because it won't fly, right? It'll be over. And God said, a short work will I do on the earth. It won't be long till he wraps this all up and Jesus comes back at the sound of the last trump after the tribulation of those days. That's right. He's coming back, not at some little secret pre-trib rapture, which is not even in the scriptures. It's the twisting of scripture where people try to make the word say that when it's not even in the Bible. It's not even accurate. People think that, and they go expect they'll be gone before anything bad happens. Well, I've got news for you. These bad things are already happening. The COVID and the vaccination killing probably will kill more people before it's all over with than the actual COVID and the flu this year, which they call COVID many times, and there were hardly no cases of flu because they blamed everything as COVID or whatever, but you know, that's another story for another time. Luke 18:8. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's coming back at the last trumpet. And so will he have faith? Will he be able to find faith on the earth at that time? Will he? See, there's coming a time when the Bible says that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And I tell you right now, a lot of the elect are being deceived already, but I imagine it would get worse. There's a coming of falling away, the Bible says. When the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, Christians will be mad at God and their false teachers, such as Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins and John Hagee, Peter LeLong, Schofield, Hal Lindsey, Calvary Chapel, all these, and Greg Laurie, and all these on and on, the list goes of these liars. They're lying to the church about a pre-trib rapture that they don't even check out themselves. They just believe what they read or they were told for the most part. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? Yeah. Believing these lies, thinking we're getting this rapture. But because of no rapture, no secret rapture, many are going to turn to the world and be tricked into receiving its mark. Look how many Christians received the vaccine. They're not really investigating it, but their pastors told them to take it. Right? Because there was. Isn't there some tale of pastors receiving money for telling the people to take the vaccine? Oh, my. But anyway, many will turn and receive that mark because they have gone to sleep. And the Church of America is being taken over by, you know, many lies right now and believing the government on things. And they want, oh, we have money for churches. Just do it the way we tell you to do it. And we'll loan you money. We'll give you money. And oh, by the way, you can't offend the LGBTQs and the gay people and the abortionists. And by the way, your government is always right, so submit to us and believe that we only have your very best in mind. That's why we're spying on you all the time, listening to every phone call, monitoring every email, business transaction, credit card transaction. We're vaccinating you. And, you know, 4 British pilots died from the vaccine because of blood clots. right? It's dying, and there'll probably be more because as they go up in the air, they don't move around much, and, you know, they have those blood clots, which are caused by taking the vaccination. So they weren't dying like that. Four in 1 week that died this week? Really? They weren't doing that before the vaccination. And it says, yeah, you could say it. It does cause, it can, that's one of the things it can do. It causes blood clots, right? So, yeah. And so they're going to have to probably find some unvaccinated pilots, right, to fly for them, you know? But anyway, we have your best in mind. That's why you need to be vaccinated. That's why we're taking all your freedoms away little by little, because we love you so much, right? And the majority of the church is buying into these lies. Compromise is the order of the modern American church. Yeah, we do. We know that they wouldn't hurt us, the government. They wouldn't have anything bad to do to people. No. But the American church, we want God our way, not God's way only. We want God on our terms and our way. No, we got to go on the Bible terms, folks. We got to live the way the Bible says to live, by the Spirit of the Lord in us. He does that in us, right? So let's go to 2 Timothy, read another scripture, chapter 3, verse 1. This, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is where we're living. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. How many have turned away from those who deny the power of godliness? Deny the power of God. How many of you have turned away from somebody? You need to turn away from some people, folks. That's what the scripture tells us to do. There's some people that we need to turn away from. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that? The full knowledge, that word truth, the epignosis, the full knowledge. So what do we do? They're trying to learn, but they're not getting anywhere because they just have a form of godliness. And they've indulged in all these other things, and lovers of their own selves, and they've just blinded them. So one thing we could do is we get delivered from what sets us up for lies, wrong teaching, such as that pre-trib rapture teaching. That we need to get rid of that and believe in the second coming. There's only one return of Christ in the Bible, and that's the last trump, the second coming of Christ. There's not a secret rapture in the Bible at all. Okay, so we need to get rid of the things that set us up for deception, wrong teaching, guilt, condemnation, fear, false religion, witchcraft, soul ties with the wrong people, generational curses through our family line, bloodline curses. Get rid of all that sets us up for deception. Okay, and these spirits that are like fleas on a dog, I mean, not that you're any of us are dogs, but I'm going to give you an example. These spirits are like fleas on a dog or barnacles on a ship that just eat away and bite us and make us itch and cause sores in our lives. So it causes all kinds of problems in our lives, and spirits such as lust, rebellion, stubbornness, rejection, fear of failure, unforgiveness, and hurts, and all these things, greed. Yeah. And the Bible says deliverance is the children's bread. Are you the children of God? Then it's your bread. Eat some. Have some. Right? It's for us. Yes. It's for the believer. It's not for unbeliever, because if the unbeliever gets delivered, they cannot profit from deliverance until they become a believer, because the spirits will come right back. But the believer has an advantage where we can hold the ground. Unbelievers cannot, unless they become a believer, for they have no defenses against satanic forces. The unbeliever don't have a defense against satanic forces. We're the ones who's been given the authority over satanic forces because we're believers. He gave us the authority, but see, that which Adam lost, we have been given, but the lost person has not been given it until they believe, and then, of course, everybody's been given salvation, but not everybody received salvation, right? He died for the whole world, but not everybody received what he died for them and their sin. So, yeah, so unless you receive Christ and receive your authority and walk in that authority, and there are a lot of believers who don't walk in authority, who are believers, they receive salvation, but they didn't go further. They didn't walk into other things of God. And they do need it all. We all need it all. Okay? So we see people with no defense out there. And they're just being taken captive at the devil's will, like it says in the Word. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. We'll just read that in verse 26 here, 2 Timothy 3. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. See, they have, it says in verse 25, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, but not unless they receive and repent the truth. They receive the truth and repent. So, yeah, it's very important that you become a Christian, because if you're not, then you're just meat for the devil. Meat for the devil and his demons. He will have you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks in between, too, because, hey, you just don't let up. And he doesn't care about you or love you or like you or have any desire other than to use you for his end. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, if you look that word spirit up, it's soul, not spirit, not your born-again spirit. It's the soul, the mind, will, and emotion. Because there's no filthiness in the spirit, according to 1 John. But so filthiness of the flesh and soul is basically what that scripture says. And that is deliverance. That's what we're talking about here. That is deliverance. Deliverance is your cleansing. It cleanses you from these parasites and these fleas, these itching things, these scratchy things that are causing sores in our lives and eating away on us. Also legalism and law keeping and falling from grace by attempting to do for God, to please him by what you can do instead of what he has done. This is called performance-based Christianity, another bondage of the devil, all based on your performance and not God's performance and what he has done. You can never perform enough for God to please him. He doesn't want your performance. He wants you, right? He loves you. He wants you. He's not concerned about all your performance, all that you could do on your own ability and power. You know, you can't really do much on your power anyway. He got to give you his power. It's through Christ we live and from Christ we live. It's not for Christ we live on our ability and our strength. No, we live from his strength, his spirit. See, that's why we produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of man. Not the fruit of man, it's called the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't want your guilt and your religious actions. He wants to fill you with himself and bless you with the riches of his grace and the riches of his love and the riches of the abundant life that he says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He has these things for you. Well, hey, but I'm not experiencing those things, Pastor. I don't think he really does. You know, well, there you go. You're listening to the devil again, because listen, God's not a respecter of persons. He just made the promises, and those who will receive them and act on them and believe them, they're the ones who are going to walk in them, not those who are whining all the time. Well, I'm not seeing it. It must not work. It must not be real. But you know, that's just not going to work for you, because you're just negating it all by your mouth and your negativism and your whining and your unbelief. And many people blame God. I said, well, you know, it's God's fault. You know, I'm mad at God about it. But it really, the just walk by faith. If you're walking by faith, you can possess the promises of God. Amen. You can possess the blessing. James 1:16. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren, because this is a common area where people err. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. See, Jesus, we were begat of his will with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wow. First fruit of his creatures. So he's going to have many more fruits after us, maybe many more planets for all we know. I don't know all that, see. But I do know, as he did say here, that we're kind of the first fruit of his creatures, the born again people. Hallelujah. So don't err in this area. Every good gift is coming from above. It's not coming from the devil. It's not coming from you. It's coming from the Holy Spirit from above, see. And this is where many people have erred. They blame God for what the devil does, see. And they say, well, God took them. God took them. God killed them. Yeah. Okay. Not scriptural, really? Yeah, they blame God for stealing and killing and destroying when God doesn't have anything to do with that, okay? So, and they think that the bad things that happen to them are from God. And maybe God is maybe punishing them. See, they think that God is punishing them because they're so bad. They got so much wrong with them after all. So they examine themselves way too much and look at all the bad in them rather than what Jesus is doing in them. What do you think God would have you look at? You're bad all the time, or what Jesus is doing in us? And they think they have something to do with them becoming what God wants them to become. Hey, no, didn't we just read? He birthed us, and he's going to make us over. He's going to make us into what he wants us to do, and we yield him and allow him to do so, because that's all he requires is our yielding to him. And letting him do this work of grace in our lives, the Holy Spirit, it says, it changes us from glory to glory in the Word. And yes, we must act in faith in response to his Word. But act all you want without him animating and infusing you with himself. Without that, you could do nothing and are sure to fail. Because he said, without me, you could do nothing. So he's the one that animates us. He's the one that infuses us with himself and his changing power, his glorious power, his glory and presence. And after all, the faith comes from him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And even Jesus said, without my Father, I will do nothing. I only do what he does through me. I and my Father are one. Can you say that? I and Jesus are one. The Bible says that we're one through the miracle of the abiding God, the Holy Spirit within you. We are one. He that is joined to the Lord, the Bible says, is what? One spirit with him, and God is spirit. We are spirit. And look at 1 Peter 1:5. It says here that who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here we are. We're being kept by the power of God. Amen. And thus the scripture says, to him who believes, all things are possible. Yeah, believes what? What? That the God of all the universe is in him and has filled him with himself, and that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Do you believe that? There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for him. But we're going to have to believe that. We're going to have to believe that through grace and truth, not through law and religion, or we're going to find ourselves accommodated by Satan and demons and falling from grace if we're trying to believe it through law and religion instead of through faith and grace and truth, faith, grace and truth. Yeah, the devil will accommodate you when you go under law and religion, but not when you're living under grace and truth. Not, you know, come on. And yes, it's a challenge to walk with Jesus today, but it's possible through God and with his mighty power that is in us right now and working in us now and always. And we read that last week, he's working in us how mightily, I think it was last week, according to his power, which working in us, you become a mighty man or mighty woman of God, see? Because the very same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now living in you right this very moment. And he, the Holy Spirit, has raised us up and is raising us up out of death and out of darkness and calling us to live in his marvelous light, the Bible says. Oh, but what about all my faults? What about all that's wrong with me? Well, do you have some area of your life right now that's not right? Of course you do. All of us have some areas that God is still working on today. None of us have fully got ourselves all cleaned up today, have we? Where there's nothing going on in our lives but perfection, total perfection. None of us are there. So what about all your faults? What about that some habit you have or some fault that you have somewhere in you that you feel that you're falling short of God? Is there some area you just have not been able to conquer? Some lustful habit or something, or lust of the eyes? Do you think it separates you from God? Oh, yes, it separates, Pastor, it separates me from God. I'm afraid I am separated from God. I lusted and looked at a beautiful woman or a handsome man yesterday. Oh, so do you think that God left you then? Do you think he's in disapproval of you, that he's disappointed in you, and perhaps he's mad at you? See, these are areas that Christians are struggling with. But most beliefs concerning our besetting faults and problems and sins are wrong, folks, and I'm going to show you that today. Let's answer the question, first of all, does your problem or fault separate you from God? Well, look at Romans 8, 38, 39. What do you think? We'll read it, and you tell me what you think. You think it does? See, if we get the scripture answer on things, then maybe we'll get our thinking straight and get rid of some of that religious training that we receive, that falsehood. Romans 8, 38, 39, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They're not going to separate you from the love of God. Also, I remind you of the scripture that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, except when you have a bad habit or a character flaw or a lust or something going on in your life. Oh, then he leaves you, right? Is that what it says? Not my Bible. What Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading? What version of the Bible are you reading? The devil's version or something? No, because that's not what it says. That's not what it says. Hey, oh, the whole human race is flawed and corrupt, and the Bible says desperately wicked. All have their demons. Every Christian has their demons. And so if you have demons, why would God want you at all? Why would he want a fellowship with you? Why would he live inside of your spirit? Well, he's cleaned the spirit up. The spirit doesn't sin, it says in 1 John. So there's a place in you that has no sin. And that's where Jesus lives. And he's not going to leave you just because you sin in your soul area, your mind, will, and emotion, or the flesh, or the body, okay? But see, that's what Christians think. They think, oh, my God left me because I've sinned. I've done this. I've got all these faults. I failed, and I said bad word. And not that we have the right to sin. The Bible says, should I sin? No, God forbid. Because we have these truths. No, God forbid. We don't want to go into willful sin. That's stupid, right? No, that's stupid. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, then the truth is not in you, okay? But, yeah, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. If you're in sin, he'll convict you of it, but he doesn't leave you. And we can even grieve the Holy Spirit, but it never says he's going to leave you. He doesn't leave his children. Do you leave your children? Do you abandon them? When they're a little five-year-old, you're going to just abandon him because he did something bad? He stole a cookie out of a cookie jar? Oh, my. I'm going to abandon you and throw you out the street. Did God do that to his children? No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. We got to get the whole counsel of God here. Okay? Some of you live your life in a never-ending cycle of failure and trying then to please God, rising up to a crescendo, and then boom, down again you go, and then you start to climb up again and go through the whole thing again. the never-ending cycle, going nowhere, always feeling bad about yourself and your life. And you're never going nowhere in God because you're just beating yourself up so badly. Okay? That's right. That's right. There are so many Christians today in bondage. Are they all going to hell? Of course not. You know, show me one Christian that doesn't have a fault. Show me a Christian that's totally perfect. There hasn't been any. Okay? Not that we're justifying sin or fault or anything like that. We should all be desiring to get rid of these things. We should all be desiring, you know, to get delivered and to change and for the Spirit of God to change us. And we should be seeking the Lord on these things, okay? And we should hate sin. But see, if Jesus were to abandon all of his people just because they failed and sinned, then who would be saved? Huh? Who would be saved? None of us would be. None of us would be. So, yeah, some people go through this cycle over and over. They rise to this crescendo, boom, down again they go. And they have to start to climb up again. See, you need to know that the human race is profoundly and desperately religious, too. From the very dim beginnings of our history, with Adam and Eve right up to the present day, there is not a man or a woman who has ever been immune to the temptation to think that the relationship between God and humanity can be repaired from our side of the fence by our own self-effort. That's right. And that we can find a way to serve God out of our own ability. When we ever learn that self-efforts apart from God's power and the Spirit of God are nothing but in vain and vanity, when are we going to learn that, folks? When are we going to? Come on now. We've got to learn. Let's go to Hebrews 10:4 here. Hebrews 10:4. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. See? Look at burnt offerings and sacrifice to sin. Thou hast no pleasure, it says in verse 6. Yeah, so we're just wasting our time. And he had to come and bring a better covenant. And we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, not by us trying to change, trying harder, trying to get rid of the faults in our lives and the habits and the stuff that we got wrong with us. It said no, but by the which we will, we are sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See? That's right. And he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, it says in verse 12, and then he sat down on the right hand of the Father, from henceforth expecting to all his enemies. He made his footstool. That means every enemy in your life, too. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you set apart unto God? Are you a Christian today? For by one offering he has perfected you spiritually so that you can have fellowship with God, even with your cigarette habit, your alcohol, and your sins, and your faults, and your lust, and your lies, and all the stuff that's still in your life that you haven't overcome, your overeating, your gluttony, your gossip. Not that you should wallow around and enjoy those things. You got to hate the evil. You got to hate the sin. But he's perfected you forever in your spirit. In the part of you where the seat of God is, so he can have fellowship with the sinful thing. But no, our spirit is not a sinful thing anymore because it is a regenerated, reborn spirit, which cannot sin unless you make a willful choice to reject the work of the Holy Spirit and curse God, curse the Holy Spirit, tell him to leave you and never return. And tell him you're renouncing your salvation, where you're renouncing the regeneration and the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's the only way. He said, otherwise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to keep working on you until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to keep living in you, in your spirit, your born-again spirit. Okay? That's right. And he said in verse 17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. They don't need one, right? Because they've been forgiven. They've been cleansed. So having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, see, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He's telling us in verse 22 that let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, and then hold fast to it. Don't let go of it. It says in the next verse, hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who has promised. See, he promises all these things. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's forgiving your sins. You're perfected in your spirit. That's a settled fact in heaven right now. That's right. See, religion can't change. It can't change you. It can only, you know, train you to be religious, but lifeless. But see, God transforms you, see? So what about all your faults? See, as Hebrews says, all such behavior is vain, it's bunk. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away or atone for sin, nor can any other religious act do what it sets out to do. So we got to get rid of this religiosity stuff, this religious spirit, these religious spirits that think to tell you that God is separated from you because of your sin, because of all your mess, because of all that's wrong with you. See? So what a disservice certain Bible teachers and preachers do, not only to the church, but to the world, when it proclaims personal conduct as a way to holiness, as the touchstone of salvation and a way to holiness. And I could name some of these preachers. You better keep the law. You better keep the Ten Commandments. You better do this. You better do that. Or God is mad at you. Oh, really? Come on. This is ridiculous. God is not mad at his children. Okay? I'm going to explain more on that. See, too many Christians have made Jesus into a Santa Claus type. This is the way they see Jesus. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. The pitiful word of this song, these words of this song, sum up perfectly the only kind of messianic behavior the human race in its self-destructive folly is prepared to accept, right? They see Jesus, the God, as a insufferable bookkeeper up there, keeping note of all your wrongs and all your rights and judging you on all your wrongs, and you feel separated from him half the time. Huh? Many preachers make people so sin-conscious, right, that they're so afraid of God and his punishment that they're stressed out about it all the time. Always feeling guilty all the time. You don't need to live that way. Yeah, you may still have some habits. Yeah, you may still have some sin in your life. But hey, are you putting yourself in God's hand? Are you submitting yourself, yielding yourself to God so that he can work in you and change you? Are you still reading the word by grace, through grace, and loving the Lord with all your heart and offering up the fruit of your lips by the Spirit of God in you? Hey, listen, he hasn't left you. These are just demons of religion that are working you over, trying to bring in spiritual death to your life, even though the spirit is alive because Jesus is in there right now in your spirit. Oh, yeah. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Look at this further. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See, most people are looking for the wrath of God to come on them. Most Christians are. They're expecting an angry God. He's mad, disappointed in them because look at your habit. Look at what you're doing wrong. Look at all your issues in your life. Look at all the demons you still carry around. Really? And many, because they believe that, they teach that this scripture is about the rapture. Of saying that, we're not appointed to be here for the tribulation. That's what they say this scripture is about. But that's not what this scripture is about at all. If you read the next verse, you'd know that. Right? But see, no, they don't read the next verse. They take this scripture and say, this is talking about the rapture. And most have taught that this scripture is to do with the rapture and missing the tribulation. That's wrong. It's about us. We're not appointed to God's wrath. We are not going to suffer the righteous judgment of God on the unrighteous. He is not going to punish the righteous. See, the next verse tells us more about the previous verse. If we just read verse 10, we'd understand a little better. See, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. See, we're going to be together with him whether we die, whether we live. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've got to take this whole counsel of God, saint, and get it where you understand what Jesus is saying. God is not mad at his children. Does he ever correct his children? You bet he does. He corrects us. But he's not mad. He's not angry. And he's not here trying to punish us all the time like we're expecting, because we all know all of our faults so well. We all know how many things are still wrong in our lives pretty well, right? Well, no, he's not that way. See, he's not appointed us to wrath, but to be with him, whether we live or whether we're awake or whether we're sleeping or die, and go to be with him that way. See, we're still going to be together with him, because he said nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not any principalities or powers. So no demons can actually do that. They can try to psych you out into believing that. They can try to make you, try to get you where you buy the bait, eat the bait of the demon, and believe that you're separated from God. But listen, it's just not true, you see. It's not true. It's not true. We will not suffer the righteous judgment of God on the unrighteous. Okay? You got to know that. No matter what, we're going to be with him. Faults and failures, habits, etc. You know, he still says, hey, no wrath, no separation from him, none. No wrath from him, no separation from him, no condemnation. In Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation. Those who are in the spirit, walk in the spirit, not after the flesh. But remember, there's just too many scriptures that confirm, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've given you more than one or two. Amen. Under the new covenant, you go under the old covenant, you can get all kinds of condemnation, all kinds of wrath. You can get all that, because under the law is administration of death. It's not administration of liberty. Says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read it yourself. The law is administration of death, not life. Jesus said, I come. I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. The law came as administration of death to convict you that you're just a filthy sinner, worthy of death. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. See, he's come to take care of what the law could never take care of, what the law could never fix, because no man could, or woman could keep the law perfectly. And he wanted to show us that we were in need of a Savior, and then he came to be that Savior and deliver us from the bondage of the law and hopelessness of the law. Remember when Jesus came to Israel, he was not like they expected a Messiah to be. And when Jesus is truly revealed in the church today, he's not like what we thought he would be, what religion thought us he would be like either, you know. Hello? He's not like that. And see, we're looking at the Bible and we're seeing something that religion tries to paint a wrong picture of God, to get you living under a wrong thing, because so many demons have influenced the church for so long and so many religious spirits are working in the church today. But is it any wonder that we believe things wrongly? Is it any wonder that we are raised up under ministers that teach things that are not biblically correct? Okay? And he tells it again, Isaiah 55:8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See? He's not like we think he is. And he's revealed in his word, but you've got to really get into the word to find out. Because if you interpret the word through a lot of these preachers today, you're going to put yourself under a lot of condemnation. See, he's not coming to save some little minuscule coterie of good little boys and girls with religious money to offer him, that is, religious good works. That's their money. That's what a lot of Christians think they have to offer. In their little piggy bank, all these little good works that they add in their little piggy bank. But those of us who know he is our righteousness, that's who he's coming for. For those of us who know that we are the righteousness of God. He is our everything, and without him we could do and are nothing. Not an arrogant bunch of religious people who are puffed up in their own filthy rags. The Bible says all the righteousness of man are their filthy rags. I'm not looking at my righteousness. I'm looking at his righteousness, and I have his righteousness. Therefore, his righteousness is my righteousness now, and so I don't have those filthy rags. I'm going to present, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to present his righteousness to him. Yeah, and he'll say, come, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm not going to present my righteousness because I don't have any of my own ability, but I have his righteousness. He clothed me with a robe of righteousness, so that's what I'll present to him when I stand before him. Amen? What about you? I'm not going to give him no filthy rag. A little menstrual rag is what it actually means, it says. You look it up. But he's not going to present that. John 7:38. Let's go read another scripture here. Man, I'm trying to see, you know, by the Spirit of God, build you up tonight. And listen, your sins is beating you down, but the word is going to build you up if you hear it correctly. By the Spirit and not by some perversion of a demon spirit, as they do that many times when people hear liberating words, the evil spirits will pervert the scripture. They'll twist it and you hear something that you shouldn't be hearing, an inaccurate interpretation. You know, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. He gives us truth. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his spirit where I live, right? He's telling us, shall flow rivers of living water. See, the living water has come from him. The spirit-filled life is a life of grace. Yeah, remember the law came by Moses and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See? So we need to learn something very important. We need to learn to rest in Christ. Right? It says in Hebrews 4, let us labor to enter into that rest. And we're living in a perpetual Sabbath place of rest. We're living in a perpetual rest in Christ. It's not about a day, but a place, folks. We go, oh, real hyped up on keeping Saturday. It's not about a day. It's about a place, a perpetual Sabbath rest. Every day is Sabbath to me. Every day is rest day. And you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a day and going to church and worshiping God and doing all that. But see, we as new covenant believers, see, it's a place, an inward work of his grace. And we enter into that rest where we cease from our own work. See? And we enter into his work, it says in Hebrews 4. Do we need to go read that? Do I need to remind you of what it says in Hebrews 4? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work that God did from him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hallelujah. So there's a place where we can enter into that rest of God and live there perpetually throughout our lifetime. See, on earth and then throughout eternity, we're in his rest because we're in his presence. Amen. So let the living waters flow. For wherever that river is allowed by you to flow, it brings life and healing and restoration. See, you have will. You do have a will. And you know what? You can choose to reject to live this way. You can choose to live under legalism and be beat down as a Christian and continue that lifestyle because some people like it, frankly, because they have some religious spirits in them. And they have religious training that they cannot seem to break away from because, oh, I can't do a new thing. This is the way I was taught it. This is the way I'll always do it. And that's just the way I am. And that's the way I'll always be. Tell Jesus coming, hey, you just got a demon talking to you, okay? Because God's about changing us and molding us and changing us from glory to glory, see? So some Christians are just stuck, right? Do you have sin in your life? False failures and habits today? You can either fall under condemnation or you can seek God with all your heart until the river begins to flow in you. And if you let that river flow into those areas, you know, it's going to bring some liberation. You're going to let the rivers of deliverance flow. You're going to let the rivers of your righteousness flow. You're going to let the rivers of the Holy Spirit working in you, changing you, molding you flow. Then things will change. If you allow yourself to live under condemnation because of the sin is there, that is in there still, and you feel you're bad and cut off and separated from God because of all your faults, all your disobedience, you will not experience the flowing of this river. You'll be damming up the river by your own decisions, your own unbelief about what God told you about yourself here. See, what you need is not condemnation for the way you are. You are what you are, and you cannot change it very much on your own power. But if you get into the river, if you get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you allow the Spirit to work, if you learn how to release from the very essence of your being, your spirit of spirit, your heart of heart, the flowing river of his life, it will bring change. It will bring healing. It will bring restoration and life to you and to others too. Amen. That's also called transformation by the Spirit of God. And I remind you again, as I have so many times, we'll go over to 2 Corinthians 4. You think you're not worthy, then you can't change, but you can. It's the Spirit of God that does the change. Well, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, not 4, but we all with open face beholding it in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, it's done by the Spirit. You probably can't stop your habit. You probably can't stop that sin. But the Spirit of the Lord can. Spirit of the Lord can. Amen. Start looking at him. Start beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Start looking into the Word. You find the glory in the Word, see? The glory of God is revealed in the Word of God. Well, I just don't feel like I could read my Bible that much. Well, hey, you will if you want to see the Spirit of God rise up in you mightily. You'll start getting in there and believing the truth of it with the faith that he gave you. And you'll see transformation take place by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not us. It's of the Spirit of the Lord that is, we are changed. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, man. You just get in that river and live in that river. See, the Bible says in the river are precious stones, talking about you and me. As the river runs and runs over those stones, they are formed by the process and of transformation into precious stones. The Bible calls us precious stones. See, the flowing river, not the stagnant pond of religion, causes the stones to become precious stones. See? It's the flowing river. River is flowing. It's not a stagnant pond with the devil is the substitute for the flowing river, see? We are those precious stones. Amen? You can be transformed. See, religion can't change you. It can only train you, as I said a little while ago. It can only train you to be religious and miserable, too. It'll be train you to be lifeless, too. Amen? Amen. See, but God transformed you, and you need to know transformation might take a very long time sometimes. But other times it takes a short time. But nevertheless, you need to be in God's transforming process and allow that to take place. And just say, Lord, I put myself in your transforming process. I just put myself in a river right now. Let that river flow out of my belly, out of my spirit where your life is. Let that life flow into my habits where I don't want those habits anymore. Let it flow into my sin where I don't want that sin anymore. I reject that sin. I hate that sin. And the Spirit changes me from that sin and delivers me through deliverance too. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it takes a while. And if you get under condemnation, you'll perhaps want to get out of that transforming river and go back under the law of legalism and those religious spirits and feeling unworthy and feeling so guilty about yourself and ugly about yourself and all those things that you used to live under. See, because you got out of the river. You got out of the river that flows out of your belly. And it shut down the flow when you start going under religion. Paul said, who has bewitched you? You started in grace and faith, and now you've gone back under the law. No wonder you're such a mess now. See? Read the book of Galatians. Understand these truths. Read Romans 8. Read some of these scriptures that bring life to you. Quit going back and reading. And the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all those who rebelled with him. You know, and you'll think, man, oh my, God's going to get me. Well, that's the law. The law is a ministration of death. We don't live under the law anymore. The Bible says we have a better covenant because it was fought with the first covenant. It couldn't do what the covenant that Jesus formed has brought grace and truth. It couldn't do what that covenant could do. See? That's why we had to have a better covenant. No man could keep the law. So it's just a ministration of death, ministration of knowledge that you're just a miserable, messy sinner, okay? And it's hopeless. Praise God. Let the Spirit of God work on you, sister. He loves you. He loves you. He's not looking at you, all that's wrong with you, your habits, your faults, your failures, your whatever's going on in your life all the time. You think you're so conscious of those things. It's a sin consciousness. We got to get rid of the sin consciousness. Let's have a righteousness consciousness today. Amen, folks? Amen. We need a righteousness consciousness, thanks to God. We need to be more conscious of our righteousness than our sin, because, listen, we've been transformed. We're not just an old sinner saved by grace. No, we're a saint of God who's being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God working in us. So let's look at our new nature. Let's see what God sees about ourselves. He sees himself there. He sees himself living in us, doing a transforming work. And we need to see the same thing. Amen. So, all the time that you're feeling hopeless and in despair of ever being what God wants you to be, unbeknownst to you, the river there is available and is flowing, and in the flowing river is the transformation process of the Spirit of God working in you. See? Yet one must realize it is not your self-effort, but God's Spirit that does the good work in you, because there is none good but God, right? So God does the good work. So let God do the good work, because he does only a good work. He doesn't do a bad work. The devil does a bad work, but God is good, right? And he does the good work. But if you have the wrong belief and concept that sin separates you and keep you from God, then you're not going to get much help, see? Because you have the wrong concept of God. It was built in you by listening to all those condemnatory messages by condemnatory preachers that said everybody's just so messed up, everybody just, and they just preach law and legalism. They have beat you down to your little pulp there and think, well, I preached the gospel today, man. I beat everybody up. So they just all feel like those filthy, wretched worms and sinners that they are, right? And that's what a lot of people think preaching is. But that's not the Bible says the gospel is good news. It doesn't say it's the bad news to make you more miserable and defeated and wretched. Yeah, okay. Listen, I'm just giving you the word, folks. I'm not making anything up here. This is all the word of God. I prove every one of these scriptures. Every one of these truths from the word of God. And I gave you many scriptures. How many do we need? Okay? But that wrong belief, that wrong concept that sin is separating you, keeping you from him. But if you realize as we read that nothing can separate you, as we read a minute ago, that nothing can separate you, Romans 8, 38, 39, nothing can separate you from him and his transforming process, no matter how great your sins and your failures and your faults and your habits and your messes, he will still flow in you and he will still transform you from glory to glory for his great glory. That's why he's doing it for his glory. I mean, how many of you have done awful things just in the last few days? Huh? I mean, look at your life. That's the problem. You're looking at all the bad things you're doing, all the failures, all the places where you've come short of God, you've come short of what you think he expects out of you when you don't even know what he expects out of you. He expects you to believe and receive what he's given. He just expects you to run boldly before the throne of grace, come in there and be in his presence and receive from the river that's flowing out from your belly, the living water coming out of the tree of life, which is in himself. We eat of the tree of life now. The problem with so many Christians, they go back and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and think that's God. They think that's their religious experience. That's their relationship with God when it's not. It's Jesus told us not to eat of that tree then, and he still tells us not to eat of that tree. We eat of the tree of life. In fact, when we take communion a minute, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. See, that's what creates the relationship with him. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Coming into his presence, receiving his love, receiving his grace, receiving truth. Remember, he told Mary that you've chosen the right thing because she sat at Jesus' feet when she should have been doing housework and helping Martha thought anyway, and should have been doing all these works, see? See, that signifies doing works to please God, what Martha was doing, where Mary just sat at his feet. She came into his presence. She came boldly before the throne of grace. She ran into him and to be in his presence. See, that's the thing that matters. And he said, Mary has chosen the right thing. Martha, Martha, you're full of cares and cumbered about all these things. You know, he told her, man, your works, you're just doing all these works thinking that's going to do something and condone you to me. That's not going to do anything. Mary has chosen the right thing. Just sit at my feet. Isn't it time we start sitting at the feet of Jesus and start feasting on him and getting what he has to give us instead of trying to be better, trying to fix ourselves, trying harder, trying to do the things that we think he expects of us when all he wants is us to be in his presence and be in the river of God where the river is flowing and partaking of that river of grace and truth? Come on, people. How can I lay it out any more clear? I mean, listen, we got the wrong concept. We've been taught the wrong thing. If you realize that nothing could separate you from him and the transforming power of God and transforming process, no matter how great all these things are, that you've got all these messes in your life, he will still transform you. He will still work in you. Amen? See, we need a Savior every day. We need Jesus all the time. Yes, it may cause fellowship to cease for a while because you backslide, you get in all this sin in your life, and you start condemning yourself and start feeling like a dog. And yeah, the Holy Spirit will convict you, but he will not condemn you ever. So if you're living under condemnation and calling that the Holy Spirit, you are misled. You are misled. Because the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. He will convict. See, there's a big difference between correction and conviction and condemnation and beating a person down. See, and people are blaming that on God. Oh, God got me under the bat right now. He's beating on me. So that's not true. That's not accurate. That's not what the scripture says. So, yeah, you might have some lapses and some fellowship because here you are. You're grieving the Holy Spirit doing this sin. You're out there doing something you should be doing and partaking in some lustful behavior or looking at porn or doing something you should do. You know better, but you fell into temptation. You gave place to your own lust. And so you might not be fellowshipping with the Lord fully at that time, but he didn't leave you. He's still there because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Only the rejection of the work of the Holy Spirit will he leave. If you refuse to let him work in you and you refuse his salvation, and then the Bible says there is no more offering for sin, but you put Christ to open shame, and that's what's represented by Moses striking the rock two times. He wasn't supposed to strike the rock once because the rock represented Christ. See? So if Christ is struck once, you never strike him again. You never put him on the cross a second time. See? All right, you can figure that out if you think about that, see? Amen. So there's no more offering for sin. Because Christ, you can't crucify Christ a second time. So he's not going to leave you unless you reject the work of the cross. and you work the work of the cup. Part of that is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's the living of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And what fool would do that, really? I mean, granted, in the last day, some will apostatize and give up their faith. They will. Some will do that. They will tell the Holy Spirit to leave them, and they will curse the work of the Holy Spirit and take the mark of the beast system, and they will become Antichrist themselves now, but not the Antichrist. But, you know, but what kind of Christian who has tasted of the heavenly gift and of God himself would do such a foolish thing? What person would do that? You know, if you just care about saving your physical body, your physical life, you might lose your spiritual life by giving it up to take a mark so that you can continue to live. What, really? For 2 years more, 3 years more, 4 years more at the most? I mean, really? Why would a person do that? Denounce, renounce Christ and the Holy Spirit just to take a mark to live a few more years when you could have eternity and in bliss and with glory? Why would people do that? Hallelujah. That's not too smart, I think. People need to think things through more. Yeah, eternity given for a few more years on earth to live under the devil's hell. But you haven't seen hell yet at all until you went to the real hell, right? So, yeah. So, right. He's already done so much in us, right? How much have you already changed, right? Like you say there. Put yourself in remembrance all that he has done in your life. I know a lot of Christians who are still smoking. They're still saved. Yeah, it may make them weak in some areas where they do some things because they get a little fogged up sometimes, but they still love Jesus, and they still hate their smoking most of the time, and they don't want to do it. And you know, if they really seek the Lord about it, I believe that the Lord will give them grace, and they'll be able to. The Spirit of God in them will change them where they don't have to keep smoking. They can be delivered from it. Amen. But you got to hate these things, and you got to recognize that, you know, that probably, you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be walking around smoking, and Jesus wouldn't be walking around smoking, so why are you walking around smoking, right? But, you know, he's not going to condemn you either. Smoking doesn't send anybody to hell. It might make them smell like they took a visit there, but no, it doesn't send anybody to hell. You got to understand that, right? And so if you're just living under such condemnation for smoking or eating, overeating, or whatever it is that, you're, you know, the enemy's got you a little bit of bondage in, then you're missing the whole picture here, okay? Sure, it'd be good to get rid of those things, and I pray you will in Jesus' name. And, I got over smoking. Years ago, the Lord delivered me from smoking. I hated it. I didn't want to do it anymore, even though my body liked it. My body wanted to do it, but spiritually it wasn't building me up. It wasn't edifying me. It's not something I needed, and I began to hate it enough to where I just hated it so much that, you know, the Lord was able to deliver me from it, see? And he can deliver you too. So, you know, don't let that stop you from growing in grace, really. You're not lost because you smoke. You know? I mean, that's not the issue here. Even though it's something that you can let God deliver you from and free you from. But the main issue is how you're seeing God. See, if you're seeing him under all this guilt, condemnation and stuff, you're missing the way that you should relate to the Lord. See, all right, we're going to receive communion now, but I'm going to continue with this because there's so much more that I could say about this as we do, even as we enter into communion here tonight. So get your grape juice and your bread here or whatever you're drinking here that you want to take communion with, and cracker, bread, whatever it is that you're going to do. See, you know, you got to understand, the blood of Jesus has the power to open that which is impossible to be opened any other way, see? Remember, the blood of Jesus opened heaven to us. See, that's something that a lot of people don't realize. See, you go to receive communion, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. So the blood has opened heaven up so the Father can look on us and see us as a transformed individual. He's looking on our spirit and seeing that our spirit has been joined to Jesus' spirit and they are one. Now, he's not looking at the soul. He's not looking at the mind, will, and emotion and all the mess and the flesh that we still have going on. But no, the heaven opened because the blood of Jesus had the power to open the blood of Jesus. I mean, the heaven over your life, see? And it opens everything that stands in its way when the blood is applied, okay, to that situation, circumstance, whatever it is, see? Oh, amen. Open. I mean, listen, the blood of Jesus, which we as a priest of God have the power to use as long as we're partaking of the blood, drinking that blood, receiving that blood, we have the power to handle that blood. And that blood is an advancing force that tears down walls and breaks down hedges, breaks down the demonic stronghold. And it could even level those mountains or cause those mountains to be moved out of the way in our lives. So I would be applying the blood to that, whatever it is that's in the way of a greater walk with Jesus in your life. And put that open heaven over that area of your life, see. Amen. 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 What happened when Jesus gave up his spirit? The spear pierced his heart and water and blood flowed from his side. You remember that? And see, in the invisible world, what do you think happened there? The blood went forth as the power of that. It ripped the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom and meant that the path to God was no longer closed. Finally, the path to God was opened and the blood penetrated and opened up the door where we could go right into his holy presence because of the blood. And right now, when we receive communion, see, we're just partaking of a type of the blood. Spiritually, we're partaking of the blood, but it's not real blood that we're drinking. We're not cannibals, okay? But see, again, he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you have no part in me, see? And so the blood is a channel that will unite us with the dimensions of the heavenly, the dimensions of the realm of God, right? I mean, that's what happens. The blood is so powerful. It has an opening power like you have the master key. You can open every door, see? And the blood opens up heaven to us. It opens up the glory and the mysteries and the power of God to us when you see it with revelation, see, of the power that it really has, see? But a lot of people don't see that when they take communion. I went and visited a church not too long ago. They took communion. All they did was hand it out, and everybody drank it and ate the bread at the same time and said a prayer, and that was it. They didn't have no clue what they were doing. They had no clue that they were in a spiritual place with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that spiritual things could take place and healing could take place, deliverance and all kinds of things could take place when they were going through that. See? Oh, man. I'll tell you what, this is powerful, folks. When we take communion, it's not just going through some little rote habit thing that we all do, and we go through these little habitual things, and we take this little cup and this little thing, and we don't really realize what we're doing if we do it that way. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is so much more than that. Oh, I'll tell you, there's so much I could share on this. But I don't have time to do it. But I'll tell you, let me think of some scripture we should read here as we do this. That's right. Let's go to John 6 here so we can read this as we partake of communion here tonight together, for those of you who are doing this with me. And my wife is doing it in the other room with me as well. And she loves communion. She just take it by herself many times. But I love communion too. But he said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh my, can you just see that? the Jews said, well, how can this man give his flesh to eat? See, they didn't understand spiritual things. All they understood was a physical God, right? The one of God of wrath. See, Jesus came in a way that they were not expecting. Okay, the God of the Old Testament, he had come that way. He came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, but he fulfilled it, but he did away with it as a means of righteousness today, see? So he said, truly, truly, I say unto you, in verse 53, he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. See? Did you get that? So, hey, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to drink it because I want the life of God to flow in me. Like, I'm going to partake of communion right now. We're getting ready. Right now, I got the bread in my hand, which is representative of the flesh spiritually. And so spiritually, we're going to eat Jesus right now. Spiritually, we're going to drink his blood right now. Not physically. Not physically. No, this is a spiritual thing that we're doing. We are stepping into the realm of the spirit as we take communion here. Okay? For my flesh is, verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Do you see that? If you don't, meaning if you don't, you don't dwell in him and him in you. But if you do, he dwells in you and you in him. That's right. He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Do you see that, my friend? Do you see that, my friend? My, 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 my. See? And this is that bread. See, that manna was a type of this bread, okay? But that's another story. Okay, and he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Oh, my. So if we partake now, right now, just say, thank you, Father, for forgiving me for all my sin, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness right now, and I stand clean before you because of the blood. Amen. And now, we take a moment here. I like to break the bread because the body, the Bible says, his body was broken for me. As I partake of the bread, I just remind myself that his body was broken for me. And now as I eat his bread, I mean, eat this bread, I'm eating his flesh, right? That's what this is all signifying right now as we partake of communion. So go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Now we take the cup, which is drinking his blood. We're taking the blood of Christ spiritually, not physically. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we're in the spirit here. We have stepped over into the realm of the glory of God. We're stepped over through communion, and the blood has opened heaven over us as we partake of this blood. And we are in the spiritual dimension here where things are happening. Even right now, what is it that you need to be free from? Is it a habit? Is it something that the blood can take care of for you right now? The life is in the blood. The liberation is in the blood. There's open heaven in the blood. The blood is opening things up of heaven to us right now. So think on that thing. Declare it before the Lord. Yes, this is what I want out of my life. This is what needs to be changed by the Spirit of God. So I take the blood. The blood will do its work. Now receive the blood right now. The blood. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That open things up spiritually for you right now. Receive healing if you need healing in your body right now. Put your hand on it. The flesh, by his stripes you were healed. Oh, we release the flesh of Jesus right now on our sickness and disease. We apply those stripes on your back. We were healed. You bore those sins and become marred, it says in Isaiah, marred beyond description in your physical body. Because you carried our sicknesses and diseases in that body. Hallelujah. Now we receive what you did in your body for us right now. That help, that healing, that power right now. Just receive it right now. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Supernatural open heaven power of the glory and healing of God now. What was done on the cross, what was carried on the cross is ours to partake of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, oh, I'm just not being worthy to take him. No, no. You're worthy because of the blood. You're worthy. Jesus made you worthy when he came into your heart. He made you worthy. Believe what he does. Believe in what he did. Believe in what he accomplished. Hallelujah. See, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe in the sacrificial lamb. I believe. Let's just play that song now and we'll come back and do some deliverance. And you could just sit in and think on what God has done.
I believe
tonight, and it is good, because he is good. So we're going to do a little bit of deliverance for the remainder of the program here. Hope you enjoy the communion time with the Lord here. All right, we're going to cast out the, since we've talked about it, let's go ahead and deal with these habits and things like that, and we'll cast them out. I mean, get rid of any spirits, lingering spirits there. We command the spirits of overeating to go right now. Addiction to overeating, come out right now. I bind you. I break your hold right now. Come up out of there right now. Loose them and let them go. We command it to go in the name of Jesus right now. That overeating spirit, come out now, all the way out. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, loose them and let them go. Gluttony, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out of there, go, 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 come out of there, come on, all the way up out of there, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out of there, come out, come out, come out, come out, that tobacco spirit, go, we'll come against tobacco too, come out, tobacco addiction, addiction to tobacco, lust for tobacco, come out, smoking spirit, come out, nicotine spirit, come out, we break the hold of that, we break the control of it, we break the physical bondage to it, this physical thing that draws you into it, come out. All the way out. Come on. All those spirits associated with smoking, come out of people right now. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the nicotine, all the tobacco bondage, come out. In Jesus' name. Control by tobacco. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. We bind you. Break your hold. Come on out. All the way out. Out, 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 out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come all the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus. You know the power of the blood of Jesus. We've been talking about it. You know the power. We apply the blood against that nicotine. We apply the blood against that tobacco habit. In the name of Jesus right now, go all the way out, all the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Keep going all the way in Jesus' name. Alcohol, too. Go all that alcohol. All that alcohol abuse spirit, come out, all the way out. Marijuana, weed smoking, come out, come out. Weed, marijuana, alcohol, come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way, all the way. Religious performance too, go, go, come out, come out. All that religious performance trying to earn your way. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, out. Out of there, up and out. Come on, all the way out. Keep going, all the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name, you have to go. Come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, we break any demonic delusions over people's lives right now. Demonic delusions, where they're deluded by demons. Come out. We break the stronghold of delusion, and we command the delusions to come out right now. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The delusion spirits, you come out of there, deluding you in some area of your life. Come out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, spirit lodged in your back, causing back problem, back pain, come out of the back right now. I bind you, break your hold over the back, break your control over a person's back right now. You come out of the back, come out. Maybe it came in through an injury and it just lodged there all these years. We break the curse of that injury. We break the power of that injury over you right now. And we command the spirit that came in through that injury to come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. We command the injury to be healed completely in the name of Jesus right now. Now go. All that spirit lodged in the back, in the spine, in the spinal column. Get out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out now. All the way out. Come out, come out. Come on out of there. Come out of the back. Go, 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 go. go all the way out of there. Up, up and out. Move in Jesus' name. Spirit lodged in somebody's back. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out of there. Come out. Come all the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 Loose them. Let them go. Loose them. Let them go. All the way out. All the way out. Come on. All the way out. Up from the back injury. That spirit that came in. Come out now. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's a name above every name. The name that demons have to bow to, right? The name of Jesus. You loose them and let them go right now. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus right now. Go. 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 Come out. Pain. Spirit of pain. Spirit of clenching pain. Come out. Ratcheting pain. Come out. All the way out. Come on. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ungodly spirits of masturbation, you come out. Come on. All that masturbation, come out. You got to go right now. Bondage to masturbating, come out. All the way out. Go, go. Men and women both do it. And so you got to go all the way out. In Jesus' name. Got to go. Come out of there. All the way out. Come out. All that masturbation. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. All that masturbation. All that habitual bondage to masturbate. You come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Keep going. Keep going. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go. Come on. Come out of there. In Jesus' name. I break your hold. In Jesus' name. Angels chase and persecute these spirits right now. They don't want them. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the spirits got to go. All the way out. All those lustful spirits, come out. All the pornography, go. All those lustful spirits, come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. We come against any demonic walls that block the love of God, trying to block and camp around your spirit, try to dam up the rivers that's flowing out of your belly. We command those wall spirits, those damning spirits that dam up and try to block the river if they can get away with it. Normally they can't, but they try to shut it down. So we command them to go right now. Those blockages around your spirit, come out of there right now. Those demonic blockades, come out. Walls that are demonic walls trying to block the love of Jesus, the love of the Father from flowing into you and you experiencing it and you having the sense of it in your life. Come out of there right now. Those walls, demonic walls, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Any demonic hardness in there to shut down, yes, the ministering love, come out all the way out. Those hardness spirits, those hardness, come out. Hardness, I bind you. You come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out, 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 out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Up and out. Up and out. In the name of Jesus, we break your hold. Those demonic walls, come out. We tear you down in Jesus' name. Send the angels in to rip them apart in Jesus' name and sort them and come out of there. All the way out. All those walls to block love, to block the Father's love from just ministering to you. Come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. Up and out of there all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus right now. Right now, those hindering walls, hindering those resistant spirits that are resisting the move of God in your life, we command those spirits of resistance to the move of God to come out. Come out. Resistance. The moving up to the moving of the Spirit. You know, you get in some churches, you just feel such resistance to the moving of the Spirit there. You could feel it in the atmosphere. And see, there's a spirit of resistance that gets in people, too, that tries to resist the moving of the Spirit. See, so we just command that personal resistance spirit that's attached to people to come out right now. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name, that spirit of resistance. You've got to go in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. Come out. Come out now. All that resistance to the moving of the Spirit in your life. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the curse of that resistance in the family line. that may have been passed down to you because of witchcraft or some other thing that happened in the family line, cause that resistance spirit to be passed down. We break the curse of that resistance over you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all that resistance. Go, 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 all the way out. All that condemnation. Go, go, out. You're all. Come out, condemnation. Come out, that guilty spirit. Come out. Never feeling able you can rise above it. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Well, we just want it gone so we don't have to rise above it. It just won't be there anymore. Come out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to bow the knee, demons, and go all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. From all the way out, I bind you, break your hold. Come out. Keep going. Keep going. All the way. Got to go. Keep coming out of there. Come on. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. All the guilt, the condemnation, the unworthiness. Come on. You go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the communion tonight and the deliverance time that we just had too. I ask you to seal this deliverance and seal the results of the wonderful communion we had too. And we just thank you for the work that's going on in us right now, that you're doing a good work in each one of us. We praise you for it and seal this deliverance, Lord, that we receive tonight and continue to receive. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen and thank you, Jesus. All right, folks. Well, I appreciate you listening. The Lord be with you and bless you. And we will be back next week at the same time again. And the OasisCommunityChurch.com is the website for the ministry. We appreciate you supporting those who do. Appreciate your support. And we will see you back. God bless each of you. We love you. Bye-bye now.
where the golden glow. Yeah. Whoa. Say you're a prisoner. Your fears are the walls that keep you from his arms, living it all. Convention's the warden, deceit locks the door. Well, I got the keys, baby. You're ready for more. Whoa, whoa, there's something you wanna know. The golden glow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's someone you wanna meet. Whoa, whoa, whoa. His love's for eternity. You're so disillusioned from all that you hear. You'd like to be free, but there's so much to fear. Well, I got the answer, tailor-made for you. Just call out to Jesus, he'll come rescue you. Oh, whoa, whoa, he's right here knocking at your door. Hey, whoa, whoa, have no fear, I can do much more. Hey, whoa, truth that you wanna know. Hey, whoa, whoa, there's no place his love cannot go. Hey, whoa, whoa, Jesus lives, can you hear his call? Hey, whoa, whoa, take his keys and break down the walls.
Tonight, we're all going to say goodbye now and hope to see you soon again. And we love you very much and thank you for being part of the program. Appreciate you. All right. Night now.